Reading you loud and clear. The clock has started.
Five, 4, 3, 3, 2, 1, 1.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Episode of our podcast. Today we are going to interview some of the greatest and most influential minds in our field. By sharing our collective expertise, we will show you how to harness, control, and use your own skill set to achieve ultimate success and live the life you want. And now, please welcome your host.
Welcome to this week's Smallest Guys podcast. This podcast is designed for small government contractors, service providers, and manufacturers as part of the government contractor ecosystem, connecting people, organizations, and resources. I'm your host, Just Nate, and this week we've got Mr. Dennis Cater, our CEO online. Welcome, Dennis.
Good morning, Nate. Happy to be here. Excited about today's podcast. It's going to be great.
No, it is. This week on the podcast, we have a husband and wife duo. We've got Cindy and Barry Gillis of Soteric Group. Cindy Gillis is the CEO, and she's also a retired Navy officer. And Barry is the COO and CFO, and he's a retired Air Force officer. Welcome, Cindy and Barry.
Good morning, gentlemen. We're happy to be here.
Well, so we've been in talks for quite a while. I think we first met Cindy. Actually, I think it was Barry and I that very first met at a government-to-business outreach program. Probably over a year ago now. And then obviously you and I met and started talking as you guys were getting Soteric up and running. So we're glad to bring somebody new on the line here and discuss their new company. And your guys' company is Soteric Group. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Excellent. So give us just a brief overview. We'll start off with that. Just what does Soteric Group do?
Thank you for this opportunity. But first, before we get into that, most people want to know where we came up with the word Soteric. And I'd like to briefly mention that.
Sure.
The name Soteric comes from a Greek goddess, Soteria. And she was the goddess for protection and deliverance from harm. So it was derived from that, and we just launched with Soteric Group because that is what we do. We are a full service, full scope, holistic approach to safety and security for our local businesses and nonprofits here in the Colorado Springs area.
So what type of offerings do you guys offer?
As Cindy said, we call holistic our end-to-end services to businesses and for profit and nonprofits, churches, associations, schools, medical facilities, that sort of thing. We approach the security issue from several points of view. Physical security, for example, we do threat assessments and provide remedial action recommendations to our clients. We do emergency response planning for them, help them develop their own emergency plans and procedures to use in case of a problem. We provide cybersecurity vulnerability assessments at all levels, and we provide management training, planning, and training in cyber risk management. Pardon. We provide business continuity planning that includes things like knowing exactly what kind of insurance you ought to have in the business. You'd be surprised how many people don't know. It's a very interesting subject, scary sometimes. And we also provide assistance in disaster planning and financial planning for business continuity. I mentioned business continuity just as an example because when we look at a problem set of a critical incident happening in your business or in your school, something like that, could be a violent intruder, could be a big fire, could be somebody driving their truck through your storefront. anything like that is a critical incident. It provides, it does a major disruption to your business and maybe cause a personal injury. The event itself, first of all, you prepare to mitigate those kinds of things, the risk of those kinds of things first. That's the first thing you do. And that starts by assessing your situation and then making the kind of changes to the way you operate and training your people, your staff, to know how much to do in case of a problem. It goes a long way toward mitigating the kind of damage that can happen. But then if that happens, finally the police come and the dust settles and, because this is a TV show, that's where they fade to black. Well, that's not where it ends in the real world. And the problem caused by the critical incident goes on well after that, because when the dust settles, that's when the lawyers set in. And if you're not prepared to handle the kind of disruptions that a critical incident can cause, you're in real trouble. And so we see the whole problem as preparing for the problem, doing the best you can to mitigate its effects. And if it does happen, then you've done your homework and you're in good shape as you can be to weather the storm. A startling statistic here is that 60% of the small businesses who have a critical incident don't survive within 8 months of the incident. And the reason for that is planning, preparation, knowing what the problem is, how you're going to solve it, and how you're going to deal with it if it happens.
And one of the biggest factors that we have found with our local small businesses, actually all small businesses, is a lot of them are not prepared for the litigation portion. As you can bet, if any of your clients have personal identified information or anything along those lines, whether you have employees in-house or you're operating out of your home, but you have the cyber issue, the IT issue, what we have found is that a lot of them do not have the correct insurance. And we have, that's almost alarming because we do this all the time, is going in to do the assessment. But what we normally hear from small businesses is, oh, it's okay because I have insurance, whether it be loss of data from your computer, it makes no difference. And then we have a professional insurance consultant on the Soteric team, and he audits insurance policies. So that is something that I believe every one of the small businesses needs to take a hard look at, because the insurance aspect, you might be able to survive a critical incident, but what comes next is your insurance. So if you have not properly planned, you have your procedures, and you are training your staff, if those are not documented incidents, in the event of a critical accident or incident, I will guarantee that the insurance policy is going to come into effect. If you are not prepared, you might lose your insurance because you do not have documented training and documented procedures and policies. You could lose your insurance, or your insurance would be so incredibly expensive that you cannot afford to be insured anymore.
Well,
so,
that's part of it too, right? I don't know. You say that you don't know if they have the right insurance. Some small businesses might not be able to afford that insurance either. So, we've got to find a way to help them insurance understand why they need it, as well as help point them in the right direction to find an affordable insurance as well.
Absolutely, and that's what Soteric does. We go into a step, okay?
Okay.
My insurance, let me back up. Soteric, we brought together local law enforcement, first responders, military, businessmen, as well as college instructors on the Soteric team. So you are getting, if you bring Soteric on board to do any kind of assessment or training, those are the folks that you will be working with. So our insurance agent, that's what he will do. He will come in to do the assessment and then work with you to make sure that you are covered, because in the event let's say you can't afford it, as a real easy thing to say, well, gosh, Judge, I just couldn't afford it. Well, Judge will say, well, gosh, you know what? You're liable, and you lose everything. Okay, you could lose your home. It just doesn't matter. There's going to be litigation if you have a critical incident and you lose your data, you know, because it involves people. How simple it would be to, you know, contact the Terrick, to have our insurance agent, our professional, come in to give you that peace of mind. So we could talk about all the other stuff we do, but as a small business, that's one of the most critical things that we could get through to your audience right now is that's life or death of a company.
Yeah. So
if I can answer that a little more gloom and doom here.
That's what we do. We bring gloom and doom.
Preparation dispels all that. The issue talking about here is liability, and you know, we've already seen on the cybersecurity side. We have state law now that requires anybody holding a personal identifiable information, and if it's lost or stolen from cyber breaches, that they are liable to that. And if they
criminally liable,
unless they have taken reasonable steps, that's the quote from the law, reasonable steps to protect. Those reasonable steps, by the way, are not hard, and they're not they don't have to be expensive, but you have to done them and document that you've done them. And my point is that this question of liability and the defense of "gee, I didn't know," now it doesn't work on the cyber side, and it's becoming less and less effective in the other areas. There's a blatant a breach of security, of physical safety, and so forth, causing an incident, and you've done nothing to prepare for that, even consider it, the liability goes up. And your answer in court of, "gee, I didn't know," isn't going to fly anymore. So it's kind of incumbent on you to take those steps. And with respect to insurance, what we found so far are incidences where we encountered businesses who were lacking specific insurance for some specific aspects of their business, they're usually an additional rider or two, which really doesn't cost that much more. It's about another percentage point or two of the total insurance bill. The question isn't so much cost; it is having the specific kind of insurance coverage for your business and what your threats might be.
Okay, this is good information, because that's why we wanted to have you guys on, right? We've got. I mean, our listening audience out there is anybody from a one-person startup, or maybe they haven't even started their own business, but want to know more. What is it going to take to go from me, myself, and I to 15,000 people in 2 years, right?
Exactly.
And this is all good information. So I want to take a break there just for a second and move backwards. I want to hear, you know what? Let's pause there just for a second. We're going to go to a quick commercial break. And then when we come back, I want to hear a little bit about both of your guys' past and your history and what made you guys think of the idea of starting Soteric. Okay. So give us a 40 seconds and we'll be back with you.
Thank you.
This podcast is brought to you by CHAFA, the Colorado Housing and Finance Authority. Since 1974, CHAFA has strengthened Colorado by investing in community development and affordable housing. CHAFA's community development team partners with lenders across the state to offer the financing you need to grow your business. Talk to your local lender about CHAFA's Cash Collateral Support Program, which helps small and medium-sized businesses access capital that would otherwise be unavailable due to collateral shortfalls. To learn more, visit chfainfo.com. Welcome back to this week's SmallsCast podcast. This week, we have the CEO, Cindy Gillis, and the COO and CFO, Mr. Barry Gillis of Soteric Group. So welcome back, Cindy and Barry, and we also have Dennis Cater on the line. Welcome back, Dennis.
Thank you.
So before break, you guys kind of walked us through what you guys have for products and services. And I know there's more services in there that we want to get to here. But before we do that, I want to get back into what we were just talking about right before we went on break there was, I would like to know a little bit about the history of Cindy and Barry and let us know how you guys got into the business of owning your own business.
Okay, absolutely. We moved here from Washington, D.C., where we both retired from the military. We've been here about 8 years. And, you know, coming here to Colorado Springs, we wanted a smaller community to make our new hometown. Because I personally moved 16 times while in the Navy. And so I wanted to make this our new hometown. And I'm very, very, very interested in supporting our veteran community. What better place to do that than the Colorado Springs area?
That's for sure.
And so that's what drew me here. And so I got involved with the Mount Carmel Veterans Service Center, which is one of the most outstanding organizations I had ever, ever encountered. And I support them as a partner and as a mentor for veterans coming out of the service. So that's pretty much where I started. But my background is in criminal justice as well as other things, but I got a degree in criminal justice. And while serving in the military, I also attended the Naval War, the Naval War College and the Armed Forces Staff College, but I attended the Justice School, the Navy Justice School, and I became a legal officer in a military fighter squadron, and that led to me becoming the parole officer for the Navy and the Marine Corps. So the criminal justice field and security has always basically been in my blood since as far as I can remember. So having said that, so now I'm working with Mount Carmel, and there's a lot of folks because they provide various services for folks that are just leaving the military as well as, you know, veterans and their families that have been out for a while. And so involved with a lot of folks coming out of the military, they're basically a lot of retiring. They have spent 20, 30 years developing amazing resumes. Very, very unique and very highly trained and focused and disciplined, folks. So when they leave the military here in this particular town, nobody wants to leave Colorado Springs. Am I right?
Yeah, you're right.
They live here and they just, yep. You know, so, but the problem that I found was that these folks, these talented subject matter experts have all this training in what to do with it. And so I came up about 2 years ago, said, let's bring these folks together and provide what we've all been trained to do. What we all focus on is safety and security topics and bring their experiences under one umbrella. And a satiric group was created. It was created with local military, retired military folks, retired local law enforcement sheriffs and police officers, as well as first responders. And that's how we were established. So I took their expertise in their various fields and created different training opportunities and just used them for their knowledge for doing threat assessments. And then we have all kinds of training that I look forward to sharing with your audience here soon. But that's, I saw a need in the community, especially with our small businesses and nonprofits, that they do not have access to a lot of professional trainers, a lot of professional folks to come in to guide them. They just don't have the financial backing, nor do they know where to turn to. So okay. I found that there was this void for the small businesses and nonprofits, and I set off to fill that void. It's giving them, because the big boys can afford all these. You know, the big ones that have got, you know, deep pockets.
Yeah, they usually have their own, and they don't have their own training department usually within the corporation.
Exactly. So, but the small, medium-sized businesses, they need it probably more so than large boys, okay? Because they can still be penalized. They can lose their businesses because a lot of their backing is personal financial backing. They do not have the bandwidth to survive any incident, whether it be litigation or, as Barry said, someone coming through the front plate glass window. They don't have enough power to stay in business. And there's where I identified the need is for those small folks that to provide them the same services that the big guys can use.
Sure. And on the side, I think you and I and Barry and Dennis have spoken as well. Let the audience know, are you guys serial entrepreneurs? Is this your guys' first company you've ever owned? Or just kind of give a little background on that.
The boss is waving her hand at me. So if you've been in business, in other businesses previously, answer your question about my background here. I had 20 years in the Air Force and in the intelligence community, mostly in the computer end of intelligence, developing systems for actually all the services. So when I retired from Washington, I joined the military industrial complex and fought my way out to a couple of companies and wound up forming an independent systems engineering firm with a couple of guys and built it up and sold it. At that point, I became a consultant in helping the larger companies do business development and write proposals. Along that line, then I started a business that provided a resource, a kind of a common platform for the consultants like myself, of which there are lots in Washington, to be able to make themselves known and available to the various companies who are looking for specialized help.
And proposals.
Yeah. And so we had that going, and then we came out here and discovered to our chagrin that that activity, which goes on in Washington, doesn't go on very much out here. So the need for our services in that regard weren't particularly great. So along the way, then Cindy, she mentioned from her background, recognized the kind of a problem that we had with the lack of understanding of security and security planning amongst the business community here, that, and as well as the nonprofits. We could offer, we could put together a cadre of very talented, experienced people who could, for a reasonable cost, bring to them the kind of security planning and understanding and training that would normally cost a lot more, which the larger companies obviously can afford to do for themselves. So that's so we have some business background, and they say I was the CEO of the company that we founded and led the sale of it and so forth. So I had a reasonable amount of experience in pretty much all aspects of operating a business. We started with four people and we sold it. We had 130 plus. I had outposts in Britain, Germany, Italy.
And that growth happened in only 3 years.
So I also experienced the joys of explosive growth, which is a whole other podcast.
Growth is good, but there's also growing pains that goes along with that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's another example of Gillis's first law, which is nothing is free. So, but I have some experience in that, and kind of end-to-end, starting the company, getting it going, making it successful, and then selling it. So I think that's why I have this job of COO and CFO here, which essentially means that I am a bungee cord attached to my foot and the other foot to the other end of the bungee cord is to the desk.
Yep, that sounds like every person I've talked to so far about owning their own business, right? It's it's a bittersweet thing. But okay, well, I like the background. So obviously you guys had some experience already, so it's not like you're starting for the very first time, which is good because you guys are able to give us a little bit different perspective right now on somebody that has been through multiple companies, learn from probably mistakes, learn from what went well, what didn't. Right before we kind of started talking about your guys' background, you guys were telling us about your products and services, and I think you went through three of your four product lines, if you will. We kind of touched on physical security, cybersecurity, business consulting, planning, and I think you guys have a fourth, right? Training.
Yeah. Right now, we are focused with the virus. we were conducting physical assessments with a very large church in this area as well as a school, and that immediately shut down in March. So we are focused right now on training. We have just completed 9 months of training for the law enforcement, animal law enforcement officers at the Humane Society. We developed, our team developed 5 courses, and we also taught personal self-defense for the officers and also trauma emergency management, which I believe, everyone out there should actually take, a couple of our courses. I don't care if you have one or two folks, in your business or, 15 or 30, but emergency trauma management and personal self-defense are two that are also conducted by retired military. But it's very valuable whether you're at work, home, on the highway. Those are two trainings that we also do. But I just wanted to mention what our logo or our motto is for Soteri Group. And this will lead your audience to hopefully ponder this when I say this. Our motto is, if you had only 20 seconds, what would you do? And Nate, could I ask you what you think when you heard those words?
Well, so I come from a varied background, and when you said that, I think preparation. Make sure you're prepared, and I also run, I'm big with the Scouts, so I run 2 different Cub Scout dens. I help out in the Boy Scout side, and when you say, if you had only 20 seconds, what would you do? I would be wishing that I had the knowledge in my head of whatever I need to do to survive that situation.
Not just the knowledge, but the experience, the practice.
100%.
If I think of another name for Soteri Group, it's prepare. Get ready. It's not as hard as it looks, and you learn a lot of life skills along the way doing it, particularly on the physical side. It's important. Just as an example, what we teach in the traumatic injury management for businesses and for the Humane Society in this respect. If you have a serious injury and you sever an artery,
yep,
chances are close to 100% that you will bleed out before the first responders ever get there. So in that sense, then you become the immediate responder, right?
Correct.
So what do you need to do to save your life or the life of a companion, for example?
Or your child.
Yeah, in a situation like that. How would you handle it? How would you prepare for it?
I'll tell you one way, yeah, Barry, that I prepare for that very, very scenario right there is I've been the type of person that will wear a leather belt no matter what I'm doing. That makes sure that I have a built-in tourniquet if in case that scenario arises. Now, that comes from my days back on the farm to where, people get their arms ripped off by PTO shafts a lot. So, just one of those things. Always be prepared. So, and I like your guys' the tagline. And just to make sure I got it right, if you had only 20 seconds, what would you do?
What would you do? And let me give you another example. One of our clients is a Better Business Bureau of Southern Colorado. And a few months ago, we were training them in active intruder training. And the reason it's not called active shooter, because it might not be a shooter. It could be someone with a knife or any other kind of weapon. So our course is called active intruder training, and it is conducted by a couple of local law enforcement, police officers and sheriffs. But for example, it's also interactive. We will go into their workspace to show them the run, hide, fight. So it's not a PowerPoint presentation. We want to make it real. And so we were standing in the foyer of the Better Business Bureau, and I use this as an example. Okay, I'm going to put 20 seconds on a watch, and let's see how long it takes from someone to come from the parking lot into your space, into your office. Great test. Okay, just as we're talking an intruder or a threat, any kind of threat. So we did that, And it took from someone parking their car, getting out of the car, walking to the front of the building, 9 seconds. So you might not have 20 seconds. You'd be lucky maybe if you had 20 seconds. And that was a very big eye-opener, you know, for everyone. Because you always think, oh, I'll see it coming, you know, then I can prepare, then I'll know what to do. It was too late. That intruder was there in front of their building, in front of their office, in 9 seconds. So we just use the 20 seconds to make you think, okay? I invite anyone to practice, you know, leaving your car to go to the front of your office. And now if you're a threat, wow, you're not ready for that threat. So that just gives you an example. And then the other thing that the Better Business Bureau adopted, which I absolutely love, because like I said, our training is interactive. And we want you to be able to fight. We want you to be in that mindset to fight, to defend yourself and not be a victim. So one of the things that we do, and I won't give it all away, but, you know, we have some activities where we want people to throw things. So we bring some things to throw to get them used to it. And as a result of that, the president of the Better Business Bureau went and bought hockey pucks with the BB logo on it to give to all of his employees to put on their desk, so that in the event of anything were to happen, they would have something to throw at an intruder. So I just wanted to pass that on, is that there's a lot of different ways of training. And what we like to do is make it personal, because everything is customized, and very effective to make you think of different ways of protecting and defending yourself and your, you know, organization.
Okay.
It's all about situational awareness for everyone in your audience, is, you know, think.
And that's the stuff that the concepts that we teach in class carry over into everyday life. You know, good example, here you are in the evening, and it's dark, and you pull into the come and go to pick up something. And so you go inside, and as you step in the door, you see there's nobody there, not even a clerk.
Would you continue walking in?
Yeah. Or would you stop to consider what that could mean? And should you maybe go to another come and go? That kind of thing. It's just being aware of your surroundings. Most of us aren't. You know, we're busy with our day-to-day lives, and we live within our little conscious cocoon. Stuff going on around us all the time.
I can't support that enough. That is 100% the best thing I've heard, is be wary of your surroundings, because that's you can tell a lot about what's going on if you just take the time out of your day, just to kind of, even if it's a second, just kind of keep mindful, if you will.
Oh yeah,
absolutely.
It is a process that you have to essentially adopt for yourself. It becomes part of your lifestyle. It's been interesting for us when we taught this stuff, that people pick it up and they carry it over into their personal lives. Comment on what they do now. They take time to look around. They get out of the car at the gas station, look around, see what's going on. It's heartening. You know, it's a benefit for us, because that's what we have to do. The world is the world doesn't seem as safe as it used to, even around, you know, where we live. So
all this stuff
that we offer really has a specific application to your business and so forth, what goes on there. But it also is a added effect for everybody in their personal lives.
Yep. And so one of the things that, as I mentioned, I help out with a lot of the scouting stuff. Matter of fact, it was 2 weekends ago when I developed and actually hosted a urban survival class for my scouts. So we took them downtown Pueblo and took them into a area of town that is not the newest area of town. It's an old rundown part of town with rundown buildings. And we actually walked through for about 3 hours of what children can do in the case of some type of collapse, and they would happen to be in an urban situation. So All very good things. Dennis, what kind of questions do you guys have for this team here?
Well, thanks, Nate. No, this has been a very good, interesting conversation. My last job was in cybersecurity, and so I am very familiar with the topic at hand and the prepared piece. As Cindy and Barry mentioned, it's huge, and I don't think people – I was just having a conversation this morning about how we developed a lot of products with no foresight of kind of the whole security aspect as we're building products or as we're building companies, you know, planning that into our concepts and our products. And like I said, the same goes for as you're building a company. We don't tend to think about those things until afterwards or something happens to a friend of ours or something that actually it comes to light. So I applaud them for what they're doing because I think it's very valid. On the training piece, I did want to ask them about, I know recently we posted for Cindy an advertisement regarding training grants. So I know that there are some opportunities for companies out there to receive some funding to allow for some of this training. So I was wondering if you guys could expand on that a little bit so we can, you know, there's an offer here. It's not just, hey, this is Cindy and Barry's company. They do this stuff. Here's actually a way to get at that training and get some of these resources.
Okay. That's exactly what I'll talk about next. Soteri Group has been very, very fortunate to be aligned with Pikes Peak Community College Corporate and Workforce Training Department. In all honesty, you know, the director really finds that the Soteri training organization has been very, very valuable, you know, of what they can offer to corporate, their corporate clients. So I am partnered with Pikes Peak Community College. And recently, actually it happens once a year, the community colleges of Colorado are given a grant for all the community colleges through Colorado First Grant. And it is for training. And what this means for your audience is Pikes Peak Community College will assist and administer funding for training, whether it be training with Soteri or training through Pikes Peak Corporate Training, because they have a lot of training opportunities like Excel, you know, and other workforce business-related training. The reason is that they have brought Soteri on as a vendor is because they do not offer our kind of courses. So now the department, Pikes Peak Community College Corporate and Workforce Training Department, is now expanded to include safety and security, as well as the business-related topics that they offer to our corporate world, to our businesses and nonprofits. So there's my relationship with Pikes Peak Community College. And the grant money has just been released on 1 August. And the grant is for, like I said, profits and nonprofits. The size of the company is not relevant. Okay. But the major requirements are that you need to have full-time employees that make at least $13.50 an hour. And they have, you know, they're on a professional path, you know, a career path. So, you know, there's a lot of opportunity for our training, as well as training through Pikes Peak, to be fully funded with this grant money. And the grant, the money was...
Sorry, give me 1 second, Cindy. Does that mean, I want to just take a step back to about 1 minute ago when you were saying they need to be on a professional track. Does that mean that they have to be enrolled in college for college courses, or what does that mean?
No, they just have to be employed.
Okay, so employed, making at least $13.50 an hour, and
in a business environment.
Okay,
and like one of your last Friday, one of your clients or one of your small business associates called me asking about the training for his business, and it came through what you passed out, you know, on behalf of Soteri about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, good.
So he called to see, he called to see about training for his employees, and he only has, I believe, either four or five employees. So he was looking for training. So that was very positive. And so the training grant is administered through Pikes Peak Community College, and it goes, the training cycle is from this September to next May. And it is all customized for your business. So let's say, for example, you want one of our station security training. One of my consultants would come in and discuss with you what your needs are, and we would develop the training based on your needs and requirements for your organization. And then the funding, all of the funding, is coming from this grant.
Okay, and then...
In-kind funding.
So you mentioned that your consultant will come to whoever's facility, right? And the training will be done at that facility then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The training is done at your facility, and that is part of the grant requirement. They need to make $1,350 an hour, and the training must be conducted in your facility. Those are the two requirements. And the and they need to be on the clock while they're going through the training. In other words, if it's a four-hour training on a Wednesday morning, whoever's going through the training must be paid at that while going through the training. That's what that means.
Okay. So the grant will pay for the training, but not for the hours for the employees to attend the training.
Yeah, let me offer here. That's the in-kind. The grant requires the client, if you will, the company, the entity that's getting the training to contribute. And so the contribution that they make is paying their employees while they're training, and then providing some facility for it. And that's the rest of it, though. Is covered by the course development and teaching the courses and whatever materials may be required for the course, all covered by the grant. So,
yeah.
So we like to say there's no out-of-pocket expense for this training.
Nice. I like that. And how do people start with the grant and in training? How do they contact you or Pikes Peak first?
No, they will contact me, and then I will then bring them into Pikes Peak. Okay, so I do not write the grant; it all comes from Pikes Peak Community College. So they will assist in preparing for the grant and executing the grant and administering the grant. So people get real scared when they say, "Oh, I don't know how to write a grant; it's really complicated." Well, you have Pikes Peak Community College to basically write the grant, but they write it and administer the grant. So it's a simple process. So what your audience would do is contact me directly, and I'll chat them up just to make sure that they meet the requirements and find out what their needs are, and then I will immediately do the introduction so that they will go forth with the director on the grant avenue. The path for the grant.
So
it's very simple. Go ahead.
Yeah. So for those listeners out there, you guys heard it here online. We sent the email out. So contact Cindy. Cindy, can you give us your contact information real quick?
Certainly. It's Cindy Gillis, and it's Cindy.Gillis, G-I-L-L-I-S, @ Soteric Group. SoteriCGroup.com. And I also invite your listeners to take a look at our website. It would give them an idea of, the depth of what we have to offer in some of our trainers.
Okay. And now
I have, I believe you also sent out our training workforce development slip sheet. I believe you already sent that out. And my phone number is 703-489-5351.
Excellent. And your website, I'm on there right now, it's SotericGroup.com.
Yes.
And so just people can get a hold of you guys. Now, out of all of the products and services you guys mentioned today, are all of them products and services, could they be part of the grant system, or is there only certain ones?
That's case-by-case basis. What we do not do assessments.
Okay, cyber
under the grant. It's just training.
Okay, makes sense.
Yeah, Nate, and they're more than just cyber assessments. They do security assessments. So it's all the physical security, cyber, business continuity planning.
Sure, right. And just like Barry was talking, insurance assessments too, I would assume too.
That's an assessment. But can I go, if you would like, I would go through just a couple of our training to get your audience aware that it's some of the training that they can, you know, inquire about. Would that be okay?
Yeah, no, go ahead.
If you have a moment.
The time is yours.
Okay. Let me just briefly just walk through our training. Under cyber risk awareness and mitigation, it's cybersecurity awareness for employees, phishing, privacy laws and cybersecurity for HIPAA compliance, cyber policies for small businesses, personal identifiable information, what it is and how to protect it, cybersecurity in the cloud, cyber risk management for small businesses, working remotely in the age of COVID-19. That's very critical. We have a lot of trainers that actually talk to you about that. Ransomware. And then we have a whole team for security team training. Creative security team, critical incident recovery, active intruder threat mitigation, emergency trauma management, firearms in the workplace, rules and regulations. Then some law enforcement classes, how to be a good witness, courtroom behavior, self-defense for security teams. And we just recently added to this, we've added taser training, and also gel, pepper gel. We just added training for taser and pepper gel training.
Okay.
We also offer safety and security. We offer COVID risk management, policies, procedures, assertiveness, and de-escalation. That's a big one. Defense against active intruders, personal self-defense, identifying human trafficking, developing a safety attitude for small business and nonprofits, behavior intervention for managers, developing behavior intervention teams, emergency trauma, self-defense for medical personnel, and then again, firearms in the workplace, rules and regulations. And just one more quick, under strengthening, because most all businesses, if they have any employees, this is something that is required for a lot of folks and also very necessary. It's called strengthening workforce awareness. Recognize and respond to sexual harassment, hate crimes, domestic violence, physical and sexual abuse, cultural diversity, suicide prevention, state of mind behaviors, and personal defense for special needs and disabled folks. So there's a list, the current list of things that training that will fall under the grant training. And they're all customized. So if I by chance mention something that, you know, might not meet your requirements, but you have something else in mind, that might be covered also. So it's just case by case basis.
Excellent. Well, that list is very, very extensive. So I'm going to start out by saying, if you're a listener out there, you want to get some training, you'd like to try to see if you can't get it done under grant money, no matter what it is, call Cindy up. Call Cindy and Barry up and find out if they can't include that in their training under the grant funds.
Absolutely. It's a simple process. It's a very fast process also.
Dennis, do you have any other questions for Cindy and Barry?
No, sir. I appreciate their time and appreciate you guys' insight. And I hope folks take advantage of Cindy and Barry's offerings with regard to training, because as I mentioned earlier, I think it's critical and key to small businesses. And I look forward to continuing the dialogue with Cindy and Barry in the future on this effort, and look forward to meeting them one of these days at a smalls meeting sometime when we get to do that. Thanks a lot.
Excellent. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for this opportunity.
Well, and we thank you guys tremendously as well, taking time out of your day on lunch hour here to talk with us. And like Dennis said, as the world gets back to normal here, we can rip the stupid masks off. We're going to start having events again. And we will make sure you guys are one of the first guests to present at our next in-person networking event. So we look
forward to it.
Look forward to that time. So with that, Cindy, thank you. Barry, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure today. And we'll make sure we keep those lines of communication open. Once again, guys, for those of you listening out there, to find out more information about Cindy and Barry's company called Soteric Group, head out on the website to www.sotericgroup.com. And with that, I will say see you later, and till next week, this is Just Nate signing off.
Thanks for listening.
We've reached the end of another episode of The Smalls Podcast. Connect with us at thesmalls.org. Don't forget to sign up to our newsletter to receive our free materials. See you soon at the next episode.